Faithfulness. So I want to start by looking at faithfulness within the context of the other fruits of the Spirit. And, you know, as not preaching sermons very often, and as a good millennial, my starting place is, you know, a little search of Bible Gateway to see where faithfulness appears in the Bible. And what I found quite interesting is that, faithfulness come up a lot, but apart from in this passage in Galatians, it's used as a description of God's character everywhere else. So faithfulness, rather than being an action itself, is a quality of character. And I thought it might be interesting to look at all of this list of fruits of the Spirit, and think of them in that way. You know, are these all characters, or ways to describe God's character? And characteristics that will grow in us as we, as the passage from Galatians says, let go of the desires of the flesh and walk in the Spirit. Or maybe we could say, letting go of our inclination for self-preservation, for putting what we want and what we need first, and instead walk in a way that's connected with others and with something that's beyond ourselves. So if we look at what it actually looks like to be faithful, a little definition here. We could use the words loyal, committed, reliable, steadfast, trustworthy, dependable. And throughout Scripture, there are a lot of people who are described as being faithful to God. In Paul's letters to various churches, some of them he describes as being faithful in Christ Jesus. This is where we can look at this passage. I only got Gary to read up part of it. I probably should have got him to read the whole thing. But this passage from Genesis, we've got Abraham, as his name is at the start of this, then changed to Abraham, the forefather of the Jewish people. And we have this imagery of a covenant. Now, covenants aren't really something that we talk about a lot in our culture, or not in the kind of way that they're used in this kind of religious context. But a covenant is a formal agreement between two parties, where each side makes promises about what they'll be responsible for. And rather than being a legal arrangement, it is, in its essence, relational. So in order to be faithful to the person you've made a covenant with, you carry out the responsibilities you've promised and remain committed to that relationship. And as one of the sort of relational commitments that we've got on our little survey there, and one that's probably the closest to a covenant that we have in our culture, is marriage. And it's also a metaphor that is used throughout Scripture to describe the relationship between God and people. So a fitting one. But I also do want to acknowledge that for some people this metaphor can be a really hopeful, positive kind of metaphor. And for other people, you know, it's got some more mixed kind of feelings there. So with any metaphor, there is no metaphor that is perfect. The nature of a metaphor is that there are some ways in which the two things are alike and some ways that they're not alike. So I want to specifically look at some of the ways that I see the relationship between God and people, this you know, what's described as a covenant relationship, as being similar to my experience of marriage. Andy and I have been married for almost 14 years, and I know that a lot of you have many, many years on that. So I would be interested to know if you can relate to this, or if that perspective changes with time. But I do look back at when we first got married, when I was 21, and we didn't really know each other very well. Not compared to now. We didn't know ourselves all that well. We didn't know what we were in for or what was to come. So it was very much a commitment with so much unknown ahead. I think about how lots of people at the moment will write their own wedding vows. And we gave traditional vows at our wedding, which are sort of broad and lofty, and who quite knows what that looks like, but, you know, we make those promises. But if we had been inclined to write, you know, our own promises based on our understanding at that time of what it looked like, just day-to-day in practical terms, to be faithful to one another, I probably would have said something about promising to match up all of Andy's odd black socks based on how disorganized his sock drawer was at that time. Doesn't have a whole lot of relevance right now, mostly because he mostly has patterned socks that are very easy to match up right now. So, you know, if we were promising based on our understanding at that time, what we knew of ourselves and our lives, we'd probably have to write new vows every year or so. As we sort of come to know one another better, come to know, you know, what this marriage journey looks like better. And I think this we can compare a little bit to the way that we relate to God. Because our understanding of God is always limited, right? And if we were to describe what it looks like to be faithful to God day to day, right now, we might describe that differently in 10 years' time. We might describe it differently another 10 years after that. And lots of people have observed and written about how our faith tends to change throughout our lives. And even just along with the stages of human development as we get older. Now, we see that for young children, faith tends to be fairly simplistic based on things that young children understand about the world and that they encounter in their own lives. And then in our teenage years, or you know, perhaps as we come to faith as adults, and see that there are different groups that hold different beliefs, it's very normal to want to have that safety of a place to belong, to look for authority figures or leaders who can give us clear answers to the questions that we have. I think as our children grow older, I'm going to need to remember that that is very normal. But as life goes on, eventually we'll probably find that the answers that we're given aren't big enough to hold the life experiences that we have, and maybe aren't enough to make complete sense of all the turns that life takes. As we seek to understand what's happening in our lives and the world through the lens of the biblical story, the tradition that we have, the understandings that have gone before us, sometimes our experiences cast new light on the way that we understand Scripture. We wrestle with this process, and eventually we realize that there aren't always easy answers. And there can be a lot of inner turmoil in that through that struggle. You know, it's not always an easy journey. Doesn't always feel like certainty or clarity. And eventually, on the other side of a lot of struggle, there can be more space for ambiguity and for the complexity. That might make a little bit more room for a God who we can't fully understand. So here at West, you know, we talk about being a place for people of all ages and all stages. And I actually think that we do that really well, this does feel like a place where we can hold different understandings and accept one another where we're at, and where there is room for us each to learn and grow from our experiences. But looking at this kind of picture of faith where things change and develop with time and in different settings, no, I want to suggest that this is a biblical model of faith. So if we go back to our scripture for today, we have the story of Abraham, the tupuna of the Israelite people. We've got this covenant promise between Abraham and his descendants and God. And this isn't actually the first covenant with God in Abraham's story, but it is the first one that gives some picture of or some description of what it looks like for Abraham to be faithful to God. So I thought that that's worth looking at. And what does it look like in this story? Looks like all of the males and their family being circumcised. Now, I'm not a Near East historian. I can only assume that this picture of faithfulness means something to these people within their own context, that it makes some kind of sense to them about what it means to be the people of God. Physical mark on their bodies, and notably only for the males, doesn't have a whole lot of relevance within our culture a lot of the time. I mean, I know it does for certainly for Jewish people, generally not so much for us, certainly not for me and my body. But as we follow through the biblical story, we actually see that the understanding of what it looks like to be faithful to God changes and develops as we move on and we move through the story. And it changes with the new experiences that the Israelites have. And then Jesus modeled this himself as well in his interactions and conversations. There is this sense of Jesus struggling to reconcile his own faithfulness to God with the religious, social, political situation of the time, and giving words to that in that particular time, in that particular space. And then after Jesus' death, his own followers were in this disarray, and they told and they retold stories of Jesus' sayings and Jesus' actions as they were seeking to understand what his life, death, and resurrection meant in their daily lives. And then this has continued through church history over the last 2,000 years as our understandings about God interact with the different eras of time and across different cultures. I've been reading from this book by a Canadian writer called Abigail Johnson, a book about reflecting theologically and how that's part of what we all do as in this Christian faith tradition. And I do want to read the whole chapter with you, but I'll just take this little excerpt. She writes, "Jesus reflected on scripture, on the scriptures he knew in light of his experience, and in turn his followers reflected on his teachings and actions, which were later recorded and have become food for our own reflection on the New Testament. In every generation, people have begun with the faith witness of the forebearers. They've reflected on that witness and in turn have provided material on which others can reflect. This is the story of the church, and we become part of the great cloud of witnesses, adding our stories to the ever-unfolding story. We catch a glimpse of that story in the development of the church." And then Johnson goes on to describe how there are, you know, the various creeds and doctrines that have arisen in Christian tradition over the last 2,000 years. And they've arisen out of this grappling with real-life community situations that people are facing in conversation with the biblical texts that they have. This is the tradition that we are part of. But to go back to that marriage metaphor, you know, and ways in which it is similar to maybe the faith journey and ways in which it's different, we might look back on where we've come from in terms of faith throughout our lives. And there might be a little bit of a sense of, I was so sure about what I believed at that particular time, but really I didn't have any idea. But God does know us fully in this love from which we can't be separated. You know, we might be human and limited in our understanding, but God is God. So in this relationship image, this covenant image, God enters the relationship on a completely different basis from what we do. And that's one way in which faith isn't like a marriage. We can't surprise God. We can't disappoint God. God doesn't doubt us or cringe at the things that we used to believe or we used to do. Even when we're ready to abandon God, God doesn't abandon us. No matter what happens, God remains faithful to us. So it brings us to the question, what does it look like to be faithful here and now? In Ngā Motu, in 2021, during a global pandemic and everything else that's going on at the moment in our world and our community and our lives. And I guess that is what we're seeking to understand together when we gather each Sunday, isn't it? And it's what we're each seeking to understand within our own whānau, our own workplaces, and our own quiet inner worlds too. We are not alone in this faith journey, but we're part of a rich tradition that connects us to one another and to so many who have gone before us. Faith is not certainty. It's not the absence of doubt. Faith is not static and unchanging. Living faithfully is an ongoing journey. And this gift of the Spirit, the character of faithfulness that grows from within us, this is what keeps us on this journey and seeking a deeper understanding of God throughout our lives. So I want to end with another passage from the Bible. This is one of Jesus sitting with his friends the day before his death. And Jesus builds on this relational language of a covenant, which would have been familiar to everybody there from the ancient scriptures. And after years of living this way through his own ministry, Jesus gives this new understanding of God, which is centered on self-sacrificial love, forgiveness, and hope. And these are words that have been reflected on with understanding formed and reformed by countless generations of people who are seeking to live faithfully. From Matthew 26. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it, for this is my body." And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it. This is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."